ways today. Let's sing.
We waiting for this day. We're gathered in your name. We're calling out to you.
Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here this morning. And so as we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
And we will continue in our worship. Jesus, we come before you today, and Lord, we just want to welcome you here in this place. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins so that we can have a relationship with you. Lord, we just thank you that we have this opportunity to gather in this place to worship you with brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you would just continue to speak to them. May they feel you tugging on their heart and leading them into a relationship. God, I pray that they would not allow any fears or any concerns, but Lord, they would be willing to surrender their life to you. Lord, help them and be with us today. And we just continue to pray for Pastor as he's out on mission in Canada. God, be with him and use him in a mighty way for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Goodbye. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
If you would, take your hymnals and stand. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And where you go, take the name of Jesus with you. So join us as we sing hymn 576, Take the Name of Jesus, all forward.
If you would, turn with me to our missionary moment as we look at the story of Peter and Ruby as they serve the Lord in Vietnam amongst the Vietnamese and the immigrants in Taiwan. And also, let's be in prayer for the Moldova missionaries as the Meredith children, as they move closer to another transition that they will have to process and getting back into the routine of things. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray for these missionaries as well as the Duck River team in Canada. Lord, we come before you again, and we just want to lift up to you the work that Peter and Ruby are doing amongst the Vietnamese. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to help them, strengthen them, give them and bless them with good health to be able to do your work. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to send laborers to help them. But we pray for the missionaries in Taiwan as well. Lord, you would help them to come up with ways to share the gospel, that you would help them to overcome any language barriers, cultural barriers. God, be with them, and Lord, we just continue to pray that your spirit would move in the lives and hearts of those that hear the message. And Lord, we pray too for our friends in Moldova, and Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we had to hear of what you're doing through them. And Lord, we just pray as they transition back, God, we pray for their children to help as well in this transition, Lord, that you would just strengthen them, help them to be able to not feel anxious, but Lord, Just know that you are with them and you are there to comfort them. So, Father, we thank you for the work that these missionaries are doing. We thank you for the missionaries here in the States. And we thank you for those with the Duck River team in Canada who are serving in ways, Father, that perhaps they did not expect before they left, knowing that there was things that would come about or that they weren't sure of, and trying to get some plans and finalize. But Lord, we just know that you are in the midst of it and you are there helping them. God, be with them and use them in a mighty way for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as we continue on in our service, don't forget, you can when you give your offering, you can put it down here in the front, and or as you leave on the tables, in the offering plates that are out there on the tables. Friday we had a good turnout for our lemonade fundraiser for the Isaiah 117 house. We raised a little over $200, which is awesome. And so also, if you were not able to make it, but you would still like to some lemonade and help support, as you leave here today, there'll be a lemonade here on the patio and under the carport. Feel free to grab a cup of lemonade and make a donation. Again, it goes to the Isaiah 117 house, and on the tables there's some information there that you can find out about what the Isaiah 117 house does. Continue to be praying for, as we talked about, the Calgary mission trip. Pray for Pastor. And also, we are partnering with the Tullahoma Housing Authority, and we'll be collecting boxes of crowns, 8, 16, and 24-count boxes. And so if you, you know, are out shopping and you can pick up a box of crayons, that'll help. And so, you know, it's funny, as you know, when I was a kid, I think I called them crowns, you know, like what you wear on your head. And so, but then someone told me, no, they're crayons. I said, well, that just don't make sense. But don't forget, this Saturday, July 26th, we have, I don't know, is it, how do you say the name again?
Providence.
Is it Providence coming this Saturday? Yeah, Providence Choir coming this Saturday. And so that'll be at 6 o'clock. And so join us, it's a free concert. Join us and be a part of that, as well as don't forget our 75th anniversary cookout is coming up on next Sunday at 5. And so the menu for that is, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs, we're gonna have tea, lemonade. I think Pastor talked about bring some homemade ice cream. He'd like to sample it and tell you whose is the best. And so I think he just wants more ice cream. He likes sugar free, so I don't think that should be a thing. But if also don't forget, if you got pictures done, remember July 20th, I guess that would be today, right? Is the last day that you can get your prints. But if you need help with that, you can come to the church office, and Miss Amy can help you with that as well. And so the Texas flooding disaster that took place not too long ago, if you're looking for ways to help out, the disaster relief team is looking for these types of items. And so these were some of the items like we collected for VBS that we're able to help send. And our buckets are still out there in the front. And so if you would like to purchase some of these items, you can still put them in the bucket out there that we could send out to those in Texas. And so I think I did not get it all, but don't forget to follow us on YouTube, like, subscribe, on Facebook as well. And if you are ever traveling and you would like to still listen to us, but you can also live stream through the telephone. And so that would be another great way that you can listen to our services if you are not able to be here with us this morning. All right, Brother Mike, go for it.
You're talking about how to say crayons. In my head, I'm trying to wrap around how you get so many different colors out of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So Roy G. Biv for you young people, that's how you remember that. Take your hymnals, and Ben, want to clear with you what we're going to do here for you all too. First, second, third verses together, and then we're going to sing the refrain or the chorus twice. So you're going to be flipping some screens for us if you don't mind. All right, let's sing with us. Choir. He is Lord, 178. Indeed of his glory, I Children's Church will be gathering over by the piano during this next hymn. And if you would, stand with us now and turn to hymn 202, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, all four. Yeah.
Well, as y'all know, we had the opportunity to go to camp a few weeks ago. And before I preach, a couple of students want to give a brief testimony of their experience of camp and what camp meant to them and how the Lord used camp to impact their lives. And so, anybody want to go first? All right. Chase Dotson is coming first. So let's welcome Chase.
So my name's Chase. They just said that. But this year, camp was a little bit different. I was pretty much the furthest away I could be from God. I hadn't been to church in like 3 or 4 months. I wasn't coming to Wednesday anymore. And it kind of felt like a close space, like it was like the closest I could be from heaven and earth. And I felt like he was with me the whole way. It wasn't just like a one night cry this year. It was like an every night cry. So stuff like that. It really changed my perspective of how I want to be a Christian and everything. I had a lot of deep talks with Matt and everything, and it just really it moved me this year. And it was different. Definitely worth it, and if you haven't been and you're a youth, I would highly encourage it. Sorry, I didn't really plan anything. Just kind of going off of what's in my head, but I don't know. It was very heartwarming is all I can say. And I had all my friends next to me throughout the whole week, and even when we weren't. Like in worship or anything, we were still having the time of our lives playing basketball, and I always, you know, cook every year in basketball. So I didn't bring home the title this year again, but next year's mine. it was very heartwarming. Like I said it like 3 times, but thank you. Sorry.
Let me clarify something he said. For some of y'all who don't know student lingo, he wasn't really cooking basketballs, okay? That means he was beating everyone in basketball. That's what that means, the case. So just so you know, I didn't want you to think we were cooking basketballs at church camp. All right, Mary.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all who helped at our fundraisers and helped us be able to go to camp. I really enjoyed camp this year. I love our speaker. He's so good. We go to him every year. Isn't that right? It's a different guy. Oh. Well, he was really good. And I loved our worship, too. He was great. This year, we did connect instead of serve, which means we did team building activities. And you're showing a video, right? So in the video, there's a video of me tackling JC. I think everyone's competitiveness really came out, specifically me. What's not shown in that video is me tackling Matt because I was about to lose. Sorry. Just thank you all for letting me go. I think it's so wonderful for me to be able to see God working in everyone's lives. Really, really enjoyed it. Thank you all for letting me go.
And to clarify something she said, I did not fall down. So she bounced off. But as we get started, you know, just again, we want to thank you for your support and your encouragement. And, you know, having the opportunity to go to camp. And we're excited next year. We'll be going to camp in Birmingham and, you know, doing the Connect again through the Generate Camp. And so it is a great opportunity this past year that we had that to really, as Mary said, that we did some team building games and coming together and working together to overcome some of the challenges. And some of those challenges that they did, you know, they may have looked a little silly, but at the same time, you overcome those awkwardness of the silliness or to have an end goal in mind. And in our sermon today, this is what we're going to be talking about, is looking at the importance of being in community together and how that's not possible unless it's through Jesus. And so our camp theme this year was No Other Name. And when we look at camp, when we think about No Other Name, we know that's Jesus. And so we were reading in our camp verses, that main verses of the week come from Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. So if you would, stand with me and let's read those together. It says this, in verse 9, "For this reason God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you that we can continue to worship you today. And even though we may not be at camp, we are here with you. And we are here in your presence, and we continue to worship you. And help us to focus on your word today. Lord, let us lay aside any distractions that may come. Lord, maybe it's the desire to go to whatever may be next in today, or excited about whatever this week may hold. But Lord, help us to be in the here and now, and to listen intently, and to listen expectantly, knowing that you have something to say to us. God, be with us this morning. May we honor you with our hearts, our thoughts, and our lips. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, you may be seated. So these testimonies you hear from students, and you know, unfortunately Rick wasn't able to be here today, but he wanted to share a little bit with you, but we continue to pray for his family as they go through this season. The joy that students share about camp isn't because necessarily the fun they had, the music or the, you know, but even though the camp speaker was good, the joy is found in their relationship with God. It is a week that is completely unlike any other week in their lives. It is focused on worshiping Jesus and being poured into by the Word of God. A week of brothers and sisters in Christ worshiping together. I believe that's what really makes camp so exciting and enjoyable, that their joy is found in Jesus, and they truly get to focus on that for one solid week. I heard one of the camp staffers said it's 100 hours, roughly, of just complete worship. Think about that. Problems set in, though, when we turn our eyes from Jesus and we seek other things. At camp, students get to do what they were created to do and are encouraged to live that out even amongst as they are here at home. We're all created to worship, but the question is, who or what are we worshiping in this life? You see, our lives are like one big road trip, right? It's full of good things and bad things, hard times, good times. And we can either simply let our emotions dictate how we will live simply by reacting to these roller coaster moments, or we can focus on really cultivating a life of joy. And when we define joy, we want to know that it's something that is not found in our current circumstances. But joy comes from God. Not the things that we are doing, but it comes from Him. Because of that, we can ask ourselves, well, how do we see our own circumstances? If we see our circumstances as everything and the source of our joy, we will ultimately find ourselves hopeless and eventually joyless. But if we see our circumstances are through God, then no matter how good or bad these circumstances are, we are still focused on who God is. And that brings us true joy. The challenge is to see joy in our lives by finding that joy from God and not the things around us. It's easy to let the things around us influence us in such a way that we think that's where happiness is found. That's where joy or peace or security is found in. Music or songs can bring a source of happiness, right? But there's a catch. Once that song is over, the feeling it brings will end with it. We all want happiness on one hand, And there's nothing wrong with that. We all want to do things that make us smile, laugh, and bring happiness to our lives, but at some point, we're not going to be able to keep that all the time. There are seasons of hardship, seasons of sorrow. Just like you can't have the feeling from that song that lasts forever, so if our happiness has an end, is there something else out there that can last forever? Maybe something out there that is even bigger than our happiness. The answer to that is a joy that comes from Jesus. Jesus calls us to experience this joy with others, right? That's our key takeaway for today, is that I want you to understand this one thing, is Jesus calls us to a joy-filled community that is centered on Him. Jesus calls us to a joy-filled community that is centered on Him. The tension for all of us today is often found in that word community itself. Living in community today seems to be more of a burden of a church than a necessity. The opposite was true of the early church in Acts. They thrived on community. In doing so together, they did Bible studies, looking after one another. Instead of doing life apart, they did life together. And we would much rather just come to church and get our Sunday school fix and go about our week. But the truth of the matter is that many of us here, we love Jesus, but we struggle with living in community with one another. And that's for various reasons. See, the Bible clearly speaks to our need and calling to be around other people of like-minded, being like-minded, to live our faith out together. We weren't made to live in isolation. Isolation brings division. It brings confusion. God has created us to be in relationship with Him and with other people. So Jesus calls us to a joy-filled community centered on Him. And our joy, it comes from God. But the next step to that would be to understand that God wants us to experience that joy with one another as well. God created us to enjoy Him forever, but also to enjoy one another in relationship, to have connections with one another, to encourage one another, help one another. God wants us to share that joy we have that we've experienced through Him and share that with others through the gospel. The only way we do that is to place ourselves in a community with other people who want the same thing. Why? Because our lives are a crazy road trip. Ups and downs, we need each other along the ride to help one another and to remind each other that not to let the circumstances dictate how we view our lives. Yes, your life is difficult and things are terrible right now. And it seems like you're going through a whirlwind of a mess. But hold fast and remember that Jesus is with you. And that's what the early church reminded one another of, that Jesus is with you. As you look in your Bible, Philippians 2, we're going to see that Paul's writing to a group of followers in Philippi. And he's writing to the church there. Now, here's some things to know about Philippi. These people, they face challenges just like you and me. They experienced hardships. They were under pressure from the world around them. And that's why Paul wrote to them to encourage them, to challenge them. Paul loves these people and wants them to see them grow in their faith and that they would know the same joy that he has found in Jesus. One of the challenges Paul addresses is for them, they need to stay united and strong in the midst of opposition and persecution. Paul knew that the only way that the Philippian community could survive in a Roman culture that hunted down Christians was being united in their faith and standing together, not caring about wealth, class, or their status, but seeing the Philippian church continue to grow and flourish in their love and generosity for one another. Paul would talk about how this would complete his joy. So he laid out a soundtrack of sorts about how they could be in the same mind and keep the same joyful community, even in the midst of their challenges. Look at verses 1-4 with me. If then, Paul says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, this is the foundation, Paul says, if there is any encouragement, it must be found in Christ. If any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interest of others. What Paul is calling them to do is countercultural. And even so today, it would be countercultural. Think about this. Imagine if you were at home and you're watching TV, you get a knock at the door, you open the door. Let's say it's the President of the United States. He's like, hey, today I'm gonna cook you dinner. He goes into your kitchen and he begins to do, not only cook you dinner, but I'm gonna do your laundry, I'm gonna scrub your floors, I'm gonna take care of the bathroom, and I'm gonna make everything spotless. That would be shocking, right? And you're like, no, you don't need to touch anything. You know, why don't you stay here and let me go clean the house before you come in? And so, but think about it. But it's not as shocking as the King of the universe, the God who created everything, being willing to come down to this earth, not only as a human, but as a poor servant who was ridiculed, mocked, and beaten and killed. And this is exactly what Jesus chose to do. He chose not to grasp onto his glory, but instead to think about our need for a Savior, to give himself to us and for us in obedience to the Father. Jesus died for you. Jesus gave everything for you so that you could have a relationship with him. Often we're faced with some kind of threat or challenge, right? Our first instinct is to do whatever we can to protect ourselves. Our first instinct is to, well, what can I do to make sure that I'm okay? The old saying goes that if you and I are being chased by a bear, I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you, right? And so on the surface, that type of self-preservation seems natural. I need to do everything I can to stay alive. On the surface, you know, it all is about us. We want to go a step further, but we have to ask the question, as we see our circumstances through God, how do we then live? If God is calling me to live with joy in the midst of my circumstances, how do I do that? What attitude should govern my thoughts and actions? Thankfully, Paul gives us this passage to answer those questions. It's not about survival of the fittest in God's kingdom. It's about loving your neighbor as yourself, and loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Instead, we need to be together and live in a joy-filled community. This community should look different than that of the world. The community celebrates what God has done for them. This community is unified in the life that Jesus calls them to live. They care deeply about those around them. Paul told the Philippians to live in a joy-filled community. And Paul knows that joy isn't found in being selfish and vain. On the contrary, joy is found in being considerate of the needs of others. The attitude should be the soundtrack of our lives. I am thankful for Highland Baptist Church and your giving towards the students, your prayers for the students, your support for the student ministry. You help bring about the purpose that Paul is talking about. You are helping, encouraging the church to continue on in ministry through your support, just as they supported Paul, by living for one purpose, and that is to glorify Jesus and to make his name known, helping others. So we talk about this call that Paul has told the Philippian church. It is truly a radical call for the world today. You see, in this passage, Paul called the Philippian church to do something completely countercultural. The way that they lived their lives day to day looked nothing like anything anybody had seen before. A life of true humility modeled by Jesus. And right, this is the basis for our attitude, Paul said, that it was Jesus himself. He did not need anything, yet he chose not to grasp onto that, but instead humbled himself. The God who couldn't be any higher stooped down as a way of selflessness for the radical care of others. We've all lost, and we've all have fallen short in our sin. We've all fallen in sin, and we've all committed acts that only God knows of. We have things that we keep in secret that we don't want others to know, but God does. Maybe it's the past. Maybe it's the present. What is it that took place this last week that only God knows about? What is that that you need to, you know, ask the Lord for forgiveness, confess to Him? Paul is saying as a community, we need to encourage repentance, but we need to encourage grace. We need to encourage one another to be restored. Paul was calling them to be a joy-filled community, the joy of being forgiven in Christ, the joy of being made a new creation in Christ, the joy of walking with the Lord. The only way they could do that was by living their lives for the Lord and mirroring God's character to the people around them. See, being in community helps us to be known by others. It helps us to grow in our faith. It helps us to go through life with the support. It reminds you and me that we are not alone. Community is a gift from God that for us to enjoy. These testimonies you heard from these students, I hope they are a joy to you. For what God is doing in the lives of students is awesome. The talks that I had with students at camp were encouraging. It showed that the Lord was working and stirring something within the students' hearts. And they're just looking for direction and understanding. And yet they're still battling, and some are wrestling with things in their life that they just can't let go of but need to. So I encourage you to keep praying for them. You see, a couple illustrations I wanted to show you. Sometimes in life, we kind of have this, you know, mindset of, I got to climb the ladder, right? And it's all about me. And if I climb the ladder, I'm going one step at a time to get to whatever it is that I want most. And at the top of that ladder is where I'm going to find joy in life. And I'm going to go up higher and higher until I get to the point to where I can no longer, there's nothing else for me to get. But then what do I look for? Well, I find the next tallest ladder and try to climb it. Now, a ladder is meant to be used for one person at a time, right? It's not meant for another person to start climbing with me, because then what happens? You're in a ladder match, and no one needs that, right? So it all is about self. Sometimes our life is all about self, and we're so focused on ourselves that we're not there to help anyone else around. And so when we ask ourselves, am I climbing the ladder of life? Am I trying to help others? Am I trying to bring others up with me? Or am I leaving them behind? And so, now I know, I want you to go back to your Barney days and use your imagination. All right? And see, Stan, I didn't throw it away. I want you to think this is an elevator. What can we do with an elevator? We can invite others along the ride with us, can't we? We're all on the same level. See, there's some of us who maybe we're new to the faith. We're not quite sure. We need to bring them with us and help them. And so when we all come together as a community, what happens? We rise up together. But at the same time, we may fall together, but what happens? We're still together because the foundation is in the Lord. Now, it's easy for us to get sidetracked. It's easy for us to think, well, you know what? It's getting a little crowded over here. I just want to go do my thing for a little bit. And, you know, it's that temptation, the struggle of being in community together or climbing the ladder. Now, a lot of times when we're going through struggles, we're doing things in life that we don't want anyone to know about, we're definitely not on the elevator. We're trying to do it ourselves. And we think sin is a DIY project that, you know what, I got myself in this mess, I can get myself out of it. But it's impossible, right? Because we need Jesus. We need Jesus to get ourselves out of, to get us out of the mess and bring us back into relationship with Him. Our broken world usually works like a ladder match. Everyone around us is trying to get ahead, and so few people get to the top that most people end up unhappy. But the secret is that even the people who make it to the top, they won't find true joy. They experience momentary happiness before finding another ladder to start climbing. And during our climb toward success, we often trample the hopes and lives of others. And all in the name of a misguided understanding of joy. We find joy in material things more so than the name above all names. Paul would tell us this isn't the path of joy. It might lead to temporary happiness, but at what cost? Paul would say that joy, again, comes from God, and we are called to have that joy and community with others. This type of community that Paul depicts in Philippians 2 is necessary. Remember, he said, everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interest of others. We can get caught up in the ladder, so the ladders of life. And we need to get on the elevator of humility, like Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He was in heaven. He came down. He brought others with him. And so it doesn't mean that everything in life is going to be perfect and easy. By following Christ in humility and living as if other people are more important than ourselves every day, we can be this kind of community. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes sweat. And yes, sometimes you may get frustrated with one another, but that's normal. But that's where we begin to show the character of God through grace, mercy, forgiveness. Look at with me 2 Philippians 5, or chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Look what he tells us to do. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. You take on something that did not belong to you, something you did not have. You adopt. You become a child of God through what? Adoption. That's what we see in John chapter 1. You did not have the attitude of Christ, but you adopt that attitude because you are now in Christ if you've put your faith in Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now here's the kicker in this. The time to do that is now. Because when you're standing before the Lord and you haven't done it, it's too late. The time to confess Jesus as Lord is now, not when you die. Because then, my friend, there's nothing good to come other than judgment, hell, eternal separation. Why take that risk? Why take the things of this world and try and find temporary joy out of those things when you have an opportunity to find joy in the eternal, in a relationship with Jesus? Jesus came to live the perfect sinless life, right? Look what Jesus has done for us. The ultimate display of living with this kind of radical care, love for others. Our relationship with God was eternally broken, and we were completely unable to fix it on our own. So Jesus came down from heaven to do what we never could and pay the debt we couldn't afford. When Jesus died on the cross, he did so willingly. It wasn't easy to do, but he was willing to do it in obedience to the Father. Jesus came to live a perfect, sinless life that was required to fix humanity's broken relationship with God. Jesus became a servant and gave his life on the cross so that you and I can experience true joy, something that none of us or anyone else in history of this world could ever do. He was crucified and died in an extremely painful death, the death of a criminal. But that was God's plan all along, was to send Jesus to die for you. And I promise you, the joy that you think you may find, whether it's through your cell phone, through a sport, through a relationship, all those things will completely lead you away from the Lord. The best part is that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and he stood and defeated death in the resurrection. The powers of sin and death are forever defeated because Jesus is alive. And this is how we gain access to that joy we've been talking about. When we realize that Jesus suffered the worst punishment of all, that we could be completely restored and forgiven, we begin to experience that joy that comes from knowing that nothing in this world, even the worst circumstances, can take our joy away. Because Jesus defeated the worst things that could ever happen to us. When we put our faith in Jesus and we commit to following him, we get put and adopted into a new family, a new community. We become children of God and have a community that is founded on the life and love that Jesus freely offers us today. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you've never put your faith in Christ and you'd like to do that, come and talk to me. Or maybe you need to wait till after service to talk. That's fine too. But don't let this day pass if you haven't done that before. Acts 4:12 tells us this, that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. That's why we say there is no other name but Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we can easily get distracted in life and allow the things of the world to keep us from focusing on you. Lord, I pray that we would not seek out the ladders in life, but Lord, that we would ride the elevators of joy with Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here today who is struggling and not sure of where they stand with you, God, I pray that you would just show them. God, I pray if they are not, they're struggling to let go of sin, God, show them that their sin is not worth holding on to. God, I pray for the students in this room. God, I pray for the students who aren't here, who weren't able to be here. God, you would speak to their hearts, draw them close. Thank you for the support that this church gives to us. And Lord, may we be found faithful in our service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, brother.
Stand with us as we sing I Surrender All, 275.
We're going to show a quick camp video, so enjoy this video.
Could have made it through that obstacle course. You didn't have to move it up.
Oh, got one more thing, Roger.
What?
Hey, don't forget about the lemonade for the Isaiah 117 house, as we'll have some kids out here in the front and back. And so I'm going to have a couple students, if y'all can go ahead and go man the station out there. And I'll have some students out here in the back as well. Thank you.
I tell you, that was a good sermon. I'm going to tell you one thing, though. If you and I in the woods and the bear gets after us, you're going to have to run awful fast to beat me. But I'm glad you didn't take another step on that ladder. Let's see, we got some announcements. You got up. Who's going to make some announcements? Somebody was going to make. Okay. Anyways, good. Remember the day Linda Smith's father had passed away. Remember that family. Keep them in your prayers. Miss Bernadette Davis, I think she's being discharged today from the hospital. She had some medical issues. Keep her in your prayers. Miss Kay Fox, still struggling around. She fell and looked like she'd been in a terrible fight. She bruised her face and her eye. And she just had a stent put in a couple of days prior to that. So keep her in your prayers. I think Brother Rick German is due to have surgery coming up pretty soon. Remember Brother Jim, as he's in Canada, I was talking with Matt, how to pronounce, is it Calgary, Calgary, Alberto? Anyways, he's in Canada. So keep him in your prayers for that, please. And Miss Peggy Harmon, it's Miss Ramona Bailey's mother. She's got some health issues as well. Let's go to closing prayer. Father, we thank you for the time we've had today to hear your word. We thank you for Brother Matt, all he's doing with the youth. And we just praise his name, Lord, and praise him for all he's doing. And we praise you, Lord, that you allow this church to go forward in the youth. We ask you to lead and guide in our lives. Forgive us where we fail you so many times. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have to be here today. We ask you to remember our military all over the world. Keep them safe and bring them home. We thank you for our first responders. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us as we leave. Keep us safe. Be with our family. Keep us healthy. Help us to praise your name in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.